Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Let's go live to Washington now, where preparations are well underway for the inauguration of Donald Trump in just a few hours. Simon Marks is chief correspondent with Feature Story News. Hello, Simon.
Morning, Claire.
Let's start with that remarkable rally that Donald Trump held last night. We were talking about it earlier. So you had Elon Musk coming out with his four-year-old son, who's apparently called X. We had Donald Trump saying that, well, hinting certainly, that he's going to pardon or commute the sentences of those who were convicted in relation to January 6th. And then he was dancing with the village people as they performed YMCA. What did you make of it all?
Well, it was unprecedented, wasn't it? I mean, first of all, an inauguration eve rally of supporters that I think had initially been designed to make sure that his supporters came to Washington, D.C. to celebrate his inauguration in large numbers. Of course, many of them, having arrived, then discovered that everything was being moved today indoors because the top temperature here in Washington, D.C. today is not expected to get above -5 degrees Celsius. But this was really Donald Trump speaking to the MAGA faithful, the Make America Great Again, America First supporters who have propelled him into office. And he promised them that he is going to deliver the raw meat that he promised on the campaign trail. He said, by the time the sun sets tomorrow evening, the incursion of our borders will have come to a halt and all the illegal trespassers will, in some form or another, be on their way back home. That's obviously a very open description of some of the scores of executive orders that he's expected to issue today, many of which are going to focus on the immigration crisis. He called his mass deportation plan the most aggressive, sweeping effort to restore our borders that the world has ever seen. He said he's going to be acting with historic speed and strength to fix every problem facing the country. As you noted, he spoke about taking action immediately to pardon and or release people that he referred to as the J6 hostages, by which he means the almost 1,200 people that have been accused of crimes relating to the uprising on January the 6th on Capitol Hill back in 2021. He also made a whole host of other promises. He said he's going to create a domestic Iron Dome missile defense shield that will be modeled on the version that currently protects the skies over Israel. He said he's going to travel to Los Angeles on Friday to visit the scene of the wildfires, and he promised that there will be a big federal government effort to rebuild damaged areas in time for the 2028 Olympic Games, which, of course, are going to be held partly in Los Angeles. And also, very much with a view on history, he spoke about 2026 and reflected on the fact that he is now going to be president of the United States when it celebrates its 250th birthday. That's going to be a big, huge celebratory year in the United States. And one wonders, Claire, whether the village people have already been booked.
Well, they've been booked for just about everything else over the inauguration week, I understand, along with Kid Rock. Just when it comes to immigration, and you outlined there what he said, the most aggressive, sweeping effort to restore our borders the world has ever seen. Now, this he's supposed to act on, we're told, immediately, starting as soon as he is inaugurated. So what is planned?
Well, I think, first of all, we're going to see a flurry of executive orders being signed. I mean, very shortly after he takes the oath of office at midday here today, he will immediately head up to Capitol Hill and start signing pieces of paper, many of which are designed on the border issue to undo some of the Biden administration era policies. But most importantly of all, he's going to be authorizing his border czar, Tom Homan, one of the more zealous Make America Great Again officials that he's appointed within his entourage, to begin the process of mass deportations. Now, as you know, during the election campaign, Donald Trump spoke about deporting potentially as many as 11 million people from this country. It seems unlikely at the moment that they're going to go through with an operation of that magnitude, but we are certainly expecting to see US marshals being flown to key cities over the course of the next few hours, pre-positioning themselves in order to begin the process of rounding up some illegal immigrants on Tuesday. Reporters have been told that Chicago and San Diego are likely to be two key cities where the focus of that effort begins. And one of the things that they appear to have decided to do is to focus these early stage deportations on illegal migrants who have been accused of or convicted of crimes here in the United States. So there's going to be a slightly performative aspect to all of this. But of course, for those migrants caught up in this maw, some very, very uncertain hours and days lie ahead. These decisions are all bound to be challenged in the courts, a very early test of Donald Trump's willingness to work within the checks and balances that govern American society. But he is absolutely determined that he is going to show his supporters that on the border issue, when he said he was going to take action, he meant it. And so I think we're going to see some quite dramatic scenes over the next 24 to 48 hours.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have federal agents then going into Chicago, for example, I assume expecting support from local law enforcement workers to carry out this operation. Now, as you said, it's not going to be 11 million on the first day, but it will need to be performative because he will want to be seen to keep his promise.
Yeah, I think that's right. And remember that Chicago, for example, is not a coincidental choice because it is a sanctuary city. It is obviously a Democratic Party stronghold, and it is a place where it has been made absolutely clear to the incoming Trump administration that they are not going to get a huge amount of support in this effort from local law enforcement officials. And Tom Homan, this new border czar, has said that he's simply in cities where he feels like he's not getting the support he needs, particularly those that have been declared sanctuary cities for migrants seeking to find support and protection. He has said that he will flood the zone with federal agents, you know, and do whatever is necessary in order to meet the president's instructions. Mm-hmm. So there'll be drama on the ground in some of these places beyond simply the human drama affecting the migrants that are being targeted. There could be some drama on the ground between federal and local officials.
Now, let's come back to the inauguration ceremony itself, because we know Joe Biden is going to be there. Michelle Obama will not be there. Who else are we expecting?
Well, the Clintons will be there. Both Bidens will be there themselves. Joe Biden has been at pains to say that he and the First Lady Jill Biden want this to be a traditional peaceful transition of power. He is, after all, the great aged institutionalist here in Washington, D.C. Barack Obama will be there. The Bushes, both of them, are expected to be there. Another prominent stay away, though, boycotting the event, is Nancy Pelosi, the former Speaker of the House of Representatives. She made it clear that she wasn't going to attend the event, whether it was held outside or inside. This swearing-in ceremony is now, of course, going to be taking place in the Rotunda of Congress. I mean, one of the very locations that Donald Trump's mob ransacked back on January the 6th, 2021, in their deadly uprising aimed at trying to overturn the outcome of the 2020 election and to prevent the certification, a failed effort to prevent the certification of Joe Biden's electoral victory. There's only enough seating space in the Rotunda for several hundred people to observe this event. So by the time Donald Trump has filled it with his cabinet nominees, with their families, with his own family, with, of course, J.D. Vance, the next second lady of the United States, his wife, Usha, and all of their supporters. I mean, this is being described as the hottest ticket in town for those people who want to attend the event. Remember that, you know, previously, as many as 100,000 chairs were being set up on the National Mall all to allow people to watch the event and see it on huge jumbo screens. All of those have now been taken down following the decision to move this indoors. And then the focus shifts from the Rotunda to a luncheon that will take place on Capitol Hill. The former presidents have said that they do not plan to attend that event, which is being seen as a mark of disdain for the incoming president. Then Donald Trump, after signing some executive orders on Capitol Hill, moves back to the Capitol One arena, where he was dancing the night away last night with the village people. And he will be there signing more executive orders, we believe, in front of thousands of his supporters, as again, he seeks visibly to symbolize that things are changing here in the United States and that he is delivering to men and women that he described last night as hardworking patriots who had helped him defeat the most sinister and corrupt forces on earth. Whether he strikes those cadences in his inaugural address is going to be something that we will all be watching for, not least because he is going to be flanked in large measure by, in a traditional sense, the men who have gone before him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wait and see. Simon, thank you very much for being with us this morning. Simon Marks, chief correspondent with Feature Story News, joining us from Washington. Now, we've heard a lot about the flu this winter, but COVID seems to be a much milder infection now. Luke O'Neill explains why. That's next.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.